Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host. He is my dream star. That's right, it's Kelly.
Oh, and you're my five star.
Well, that means I'm better to you than you are to me.
Yeah.
In many ways. How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad. How about you?
You know, it's not so hot this weekend, so I can't complain too much. Kelly, I know that you have been sort of clockwork oranging wrestling this weekend.
That's what I did all day yesterday, is caught up on the tournaments, because I just let myself fall behind, and I was like, I'll catch up, not really realizing the enormity of what I was putting on myself for the weekend.
Yeah, so Kelly has seen quite a lot. I have not seen everything, but we have a lot to talk about. We have Stardom shows. We also have the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix. We have the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix. We have the Tokyo Joshi Tokyo Princess Cup. We have Tokyo Joshi Summer Sun Princess. We have so much to talk about on this episode. So I think we're just going to dive in, and we're just going to sort of bounce around these shows. And
yeah.
May not do a deep dive into any of them, but I think we're going to talk sort of highlights, because we got a lot of shows to cover.
Highlights and big picture.
So let's just start with Stardom. Before the 5-Star Grand Prix started, they had Sapporo Rendezvous on July 21st. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this show?
I didn't see all of it. I just watched the title matches, which I both thought were good. I feel like I'm probably the low man on the Starlight Kid Ciari match. And it makes me feel like an old person, because my main critique is that they did too much. And that seems to be what everyone really liked about it. But so I can accept I'm an old man. I really liked the main event with Saya and Natsupoi. I think I preferred that of the two. I went 4.25 on that one. Thought they did a good brawl. What about you?
Well, I think I'm actually down with you on Starlight Kid and Sayori. I thought the big matches were mostly sort of what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, these will probably be pretty good. And they were pretty good. They didn't really grab me. Like, for the Wonder of Stardom title match, I went 4 stars. I was like, hey, this is a solid match. This is about what I would expect from these two. And then the main event, I went 4.25. So they didn't blow me away. I think cage match is a little bit higher, the average on both of those, than I was. But I thought it was solid. Also enjoyed the Future of Stardom title match. I thought that was good. I thought it was another good sort of underdog performance from Sayaka, who's very good at that, as we've seen in the past. But I thought it was sort of a solid show. You know, it's sort of one of their smaller big shows, and it sort of felt like the in-ring action sort of matched that, and mm-hmm. that I was like, yeah, I'm enjoying these, but I don't know that at the end of the year I'll ever remember them or think of them after I've stopped watching.
Yeah, this isn't like a show of the year contender or anything, but it was a good enough time.
Stardom also had a Korakuen Hall show that was highlighted by a big breakout match for the New Japan Strong Women's title, Azumi defeating Bozilla in 15 minutes and 20 seconds. This I thought was very good. Another one, maybe I'm a little bit lower because I thought it was around 4 stars. But thought it was a great match. It's good to see Bozilla working with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah,
which really helps her look even better. There was the moment of Azumi going for something. Maybe it was a Canadian destroyer, and Bozilla like just sort of stood up, and Azumi went flying in the air. And I was like, "That's great." You know, at the end, do I love Azumi hitting a Canadian destroyer on Bozilla, who ends up just looking like she fully squashes her? Like, it's like a 75% Canadian destroyer where the bigger person ends up on top and it looks like a senton. Where I'm like, oh, that looks like it would crush Azumi. And it's like, yeah, Azumi hit a big move. And I was like, it didn't look like a big move.
No, there's some moves you just shouldn't do when your opponent is so much larger than you. And that is one of them.
I'm just like, oh, that was interesting. But I thought it was a very fun match. Fun. You know, I know Bozilla's been for a while, but sort of a nice introductory, you know, I'm so big match for mm-hmm. Bozilla. And happy to see Azumi keep the title, as I thought, oh, maybe they'll just move it to Bozilla already.
That's what I thought, too.
But they didn't.
No. Yeah, I think out of all the matches we'll talk about today, this one was probably my favorite. I went 4.5 on it. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic tiny veteran versus giant rookie match. My really only complaint was the Canadian destroyer. Other than that, thought it was great. Definitely worth going out of your way for.
Unfortunately, the main event result was not as pleasant to Kelly and I as the stars duo of Hanan and Saeeda. I think at this point, the front runners for Joshi Tag Team of the Year, possibly.
Yeah,
I can think of one or two other ones, maybe. But unfortunately, losing their titles, and not only losing their titles, but losing their titles to the hate duo of Natsuko Tora and Ruaka. That's horrible.
Yeah. Like, I will say, the match itself was not terrible. I went 3.5 on it. It was probably the best match with that hate duo that I've seen in quite a long time, if ever. But I still don't like the result at all.
I just like with Tora that she does something and you're like, oh god,
yeah,
you know. And then she'll lose this tag title and you'll be like, okay, let's move on. And you'll have about 4 months where it looks like they're moving on, and then she'll win another title.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, god damn it. They can't quit her.
No.
I don't know why. But yeah, that was the main event of the Corican Hall show. And that was the last show before the five-star Grand Prix started on July 27th. They had 16 matches on this first show. I will say my own thoughts sort of generally on the show is we're not going to go through each one of these matches individually. I thought for so many matches, I thought all the matches had really good energy,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was important. There was really no match that I thought, oh, this is really a great match. In terms of like, if you weren't watching the tournament to say, hey, go out of your way to watch this match, like maybe Inaba and Starlight Kid, which I liked, you know, higher up the card, they got a little bit more time, so they were a little better. But I thought the first, definitely the first few matches, like came out and they were like, we got to have high energy. We got to like go, which really helps when you're like, oh my God, there's so many matches on this show. It's going to take forever. And they're coming out, you know, obviously you had the classic tournament, May Sierra defeating Waka in 28 seconds when they sort of did one high speed sequence and then May got the pin. Can we talk about B Priestley's pronunciation of the word Ichiban for one moment?
Yes, I don't think I caught that.
Because I believe she pronounced it Ichiban.
Ichiban. You know, that's it's like that's the brand. You shake it out and put it in your shorts so you don't chafe. Ichiban.
Yes, I was glad to see B Priestley in person. Still looks like the B Priestley I remember, as opposed
yeah.
to her picture, which I didn't recognize when I first saw it. So that was interesting. I think
she might be bad now.
Well, I just thought the whole thing was sort of like, ah, I'm the American and I come in and I like just yell things at the crowd to try and get them to react, like a very classic. But I'm like, you've been here before. Like, what are you doing? You've
yeah.
wrestled here for quite a long time. Like, ah, Ichiban, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay.
I've got her matches rated at 2.5 for the Yuna match. I went 1 star on her match with Azusa and Inaba. And then... oh, she had the one like Waka match this tournament that I didn't care for. I went 2.5 on that one. And then I just did not watch her match with Hanan from today. Because I was not going to do that. I was not going to watch her in the main event.
Well, I will say for B, this to me was not the worst match.
Was that Ruaka and Bozilla?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have to talk about
this. I had
this.
Enough of hate in a single match.
I have to talk about this. Because I thought, oh, it sort of is a fun idea. Like, there was the moment when Ruaka was in the ring and was like, I'm going to get a count out. And all of hate was, like, attacking Bozilla. And then Bozilla fights back into the ring. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
that's
I
sort
like
of interesting.
That.
I really hate people running around the ring. It really annoys me that anyone does that. And they did it in this match like 3 times.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I'm Bozilla,
I'm just staying in the ring.
Yes. Just go and stand in the ring and be like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Why are you like, like running around ringside? I'm, you know. And then I'm like, okay, she's getting taped and she rips the tape off. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then you have this stupid thing where it's like, oh, we can't get in the ring. Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's clearly they are trying to figure out ways to have Bozilla not go completely undefeated in this tournament without being pinned. But I just thought this is so stupid.
That was bad. That was really bad.
So one up Bozilla, one down Bozilla, although not her fault.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, later down the card, I thought Tora versus Izumi was actually pretty good.
I have no thoughts.
I thought like it was, you had Izumi kind of doing the attack before the bell. Like it was a fun kind of inversion of the hate tropes.
What happened with the ref in the Suzu Suzuki match?
I
who
don't
didn't
think I...
show up? And then they were like, where's the ref? and then the ref came out.
I don't know. I didn't notice that.
I guess I should have looked up more, but she was standing there being like, hello, where's the ref? Like doing the clock, like pointing at the watch. And then the ref showed up and they just did a match.
Weird.
I was like, was okay. He just like hanging out in the back? And he's like, whoops, forgot to go out. Forgot to do my job. Very odd. Very odd. Sari getting majorly booed.
Okay, we need to talk about this because it happens not only here, but it continues throughout her matches in this tournament.
Well, the fans want a Stardom native to win the tournament.
I just find that so bizarre that they're
if that's the reason, but
it's the only thing I can think of. That they're treating Sari like this as she's some invader. It's like she's freelance. She doesn't represent another company aside from maybe Sariism, and she's booking Stardom people on those shows every time. I'm sorry, the best wrestler in the world decided to grace you with her presence.
I mean, I thought it made this match more interesting.
Like, for sure.
Someone actually being booed. As opposed to like, oh, hates doing their stupid things when people are like, like light booing.
But it's just so bizarre that they're just like, you know, we like this person from Hate now.
Who then like started attacking people after the bell.
Yeah.
To like be like, I'm a heel again.
Yeah. That was, I thought the match was pretty good. I went 4 stars on it. I thought they had good chemistry. But yeah, like the Sari stuff continues into the next shows, and her match on, what was it? Night 4, 5, 4, whatever. They fucking all blend together. The next match she had against Rana, like the people were still booing her and she clearly did not expect that. So I think she, like, it was kind of awkward for a bit. And she even tried to like lean into doing heel stuff and like was biting Rana's arm half-heartedly. It was very weird. And then finally on the 5th day, the match against Hina, she kind of realized like, okay, I can lean into this, but I don't have to actually act like a heel. I'll just be slightly more cocky than normal. And so that works. But it's just, it was interesting watching her kind of figure out like, okay, what are we doing here in real time?
Yeah. Well, Stardom has had 5 more shows, although only 4 more days, technically, of shows. Kelly, you have seen it all?
I've seen it all, except for some of the 2nd show from yesterday, because I was just like, I do not have the time for another show. So I skimmed that one.
Well, let the people know your thoughts.
All right. Night 2 was kind of just a blah show for the most part. It was fun. Some fun matches. Starlight Kid beating Rion was good. It was kind of like watching Starlight Kid fight a past version of herself. Went 3.5 on that one. Azumi beating Tomoka Inaba, I thought was really good. Just a really good back and forth match. Went 4 on that. Let's see. The main event, Tora beating Poi. I said inoffensive, 3 stars. Let's see. Night 3, what do we got? Yeah, there's the Sari beating Rana match. That was, I went 3.5 because it was just the awkwardness of parts of it. Main event had Saeeda defeating Amisore. Amisore has been kind of getting a push in this tournament for the most part, and I don't know. I've never really seen it with her.
I think you mean Amisore defeated Saeeda. I think you said it backwards.
Oh, did I? Okay, yes, yeah. I did. I have it in my notes the opposite way. Which, yeah, as I was saying it, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're like, Saeeda defeated Amisore. Boy, Amisore is getting a big push in this,
yeah.
This tournament.
I don't, like, what do you think of her? Because I've never, like, I've never really seen much in Amisore. Like, I think she's a good hand, but I don't see her as like anything other than that.
Yeah, I think she's a solid mid-carder. I mean, she missed a lot of time, so she's still sort of, I feel like, coming back and doing the thing where it's like, okay, I have to work for a few months and then figure out. I mean, I think Stardom is in an interesting place now where they could probably throw her into something and just be like, what will happen? And yeah. See where you know, they're drawing very well, as the numbers say. So, you know, maybe they push her and they're like, oh, we'll see what we have. And if it turns out they don't have anything, then she just goes back to the mid card and she goes back to the mid card, or, you know, she shows something. I think she's good. Mm-hmm. I think she just hasn't ever been put in a spot to be like, hey, we need you to be a great wrestler now.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Night 3 also had the Momo Watanabe beating Konami match that was like a straightforward match, which I was not expecting. Like, that was one I saw it on the card and kind of groaned. But like, this was it was a really good match and was probably my favorite match of the show. I think Konami's good again. Like, I think she's back. Because every match that I've seen of hers so far in the tournament, I've enjoyed. Let's see, we got Night 4. Natsupoi beating Tomoka Inaba. I went 4 stars on that, thought it was really good. Inaba's so good. Like, she's just great. She built the going after the knee bar really well, and Poi kind of just pulled it out of nowhere by being a veteran. So yeah, 4 stars on that one. Saya Kamatani versus Azusa Inaba was also pretty good. Another hate versus hate match that was mostly bullshit free, like that. And then you had the main event, Azumi and Starlight Kid going to a time limit draw. That was good. They've obviously had better. I thought it was just interesting thinking about how those two used to just feud over the high speed title forever. And now one of them has the white belt and the other has the New Japan Strong title, and they kind of lead their own unit together. It's just like, hey, they're doing it. That's cool. Let's see. Day 5, the afternoon show. Ronnie Agami beating Konami, I thought was very good. Again, I think Konami's back. 3.5 on that one. Momo Watanabe beating Suzu Suzuki. Good stiff kind of brawl. Got a little sloppy down the stretch, but other than that, very good. Amisari beat Ciari. Good match. 3.75. And then the main event was Sari beating Hina. 4 stars on that. Thought it was really good. Hina's really stepped up in recent times. I thought she's been very good as of late. And then the Day 5 evening show. Didn't watch much of this one, but I did make sure to see Azumi beating Natsupoi. They didn't get a ton of time, but it was a really good sprint, 3.5. And that's my thoughts.
So the current standings as they are now in the tournament are in the Blue Stars A block. Yuriyahime down at the bottom with 0. Ruaka with 1 after that double count out. Saya Ida with 2, Aya Sakura with 2, Miyu Amasaki with 2, Sayori Ino with 4, Bozilla with 5, and Ami Sore with 6. In the Blue Stars B block, Momokogo and Hina down at 0, Konami and Rana Yagami, that's a tongue twister, both at 2, Seri Hanako and Suzu Suzuki at 4, and Momo Watanabe at 6. In the Red Stars A block, Waka Tsukiyama at 0, Yuna Mizumori and Azusa Inaba at 2, Lady C at 4, Mei Sierra at 5, B Priestley at 6, Hanan at 7, and Saya Kamatani at 8. Could almost be a nice, perfect order there, but Rion in the Red Stars B block, Rion at 0, Sayaka Karara at 2 with Tomoka Inaba. Natsupoi at 4, Azumi and Starlight Kid, who just tied at 5, Natsuko Tora at 6, and Rina up at the top of the block with 8 points. You realize how many times they wrestle when people already have eight points.
It's kind of wild.
But that is the standings, but certain to change in the upcoming weeks. As there is plenty of 5-star action coming up. But what is going on in Marigold? On the 29th, they had a show, Mayu Iwatani successfully defending her Superfly title against Irina Yamanaka. And then Marigold started their Dream Star Grand Prix. They had a double show on August 2nd, an afternoon show and an evening show. Kelly, let's start with the afternoon show. What were your thoughts on the kickoff show of the Dream Star Grand Prix?
Bad. Bad show. Bad. No one fucking... It took until the semi-main before anyone put in any sort of effort at all. Like, this is your opening show. I don't care that you've got another show later in the day and that it's hot as fuck. Try. Please try. Please. Because this show sucked. Like, it's just... I've got 1 star, 2 stars, 1.5, 1.75, 2. And then all, we jump up to 3.75 when we finally get Mayu Iwatani and Maria out there. Like, what the fuck? How is, like, my Sakurai top 3 worker on these 2 shows? What are we doing?
I was thinking, like, oh, is Chen Yoda, like, a top 5 worker in this entire company?
I think she is. Well, I think
I think she is.
I think Chen Yoda and Mai Sakurai maybe like 2 and 3 for this this tournament.
Yeah, because their match, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun.
I really liked that match. I went 3.75. Because they tried. There was an actual sense of urgency to it, where and it didn't just feel like fucking a walk in the park or like, let's not get too hot because we've got another match. And meanwhile, the referee's over there just pouring sweat. Like, get that dude, wrap that dude in towels. He is having a rough time. But like, fuck, dude. Like, this show sucked. It was so bad until the top two. And even, I thought the main event was not, it was fine. I went 3.5. I didn't go 4 on anything, so I wouldn't call this a great show by any means, but like the top 2 were solid enough, but just fuck, that undercard was terrible. Is Chiaki one of the worst wrestlers going?
I mean, it's hard to say because she's in a company with a lot of contenders for that title.
I think she might be one of the worst. Because like, she made Sera Yamaoka look pretty terrible in this match. Like, why are we doing it where we're having the rookies that don't know fucking anything about anything, having them lead the matches? Like, why do we keep doing that across the card, both cards? And like, just, I don't know what this company, I don't know how people watch and enjoy this company. It's so bad.
I had my Mirai thought again, which was, now not only am I like, should she have stayed in Stardom, but now I'm starting to think, should she have stayed in Tokyo Joshi?
I am fine with her in Marigold because now I don't have to have people try and convince me that she's anything better than a mid-carder.
I'm just like, she, you know, my Sakurai, say what you want, I'm like, she's in a much better position than she would be if she had stayed in Stardom.
Absolutely.
That is clear. Utami, I guess Utami is the ace of this company. She would have been up there in Stardom. I guess you could argue it's a wash, whatever.
Yeah.
Mayu, I don't know. We'll see.
Mayu at this point, like, she didn't have anything else to do in Stardom, so I'm fine with her going to try and do something else somewhere else.
But I'm like, Mirai, I think when I'm not actively watching a Marigold show, if you ask me to name just 100 Joshi wrestlers, I would not think of Mirai.
No, never.
And then you'd be like, what about Mirai? And I'd be like, oh, yeah. Whoops. I forgot about her. She's done nothing and is doing nothing, it feels like. I mean, I guess she could win this tournament, but also, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, oh gosh, she beat out the likes of Kazuna Tanaka and Rayo Seto to win the prestigious Dream Star tournament. Great. Woohoo.
Did you notice the bit when Misa Matsui almost like hyperextended Miko Aono's leg when she was trying to remember how to do a stretch muffler while trying to apply it.
I did not.
It was rough. I was like, I was seeing her put her leg, I'm like, nope, nope, that's backwards. That's backwards. You're going to hurt her. And then she kind of like stopped and, oh, yeah.
I will admit, watching the show, there was a lot of sort of zoning out on my, in my mind.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like, well, wrestling is certainly happening in front of me. And that's what's going on.
This whole company is so much just like X thing we have at home. Like Chiaki is Aniki we have at home. Nagisa Nozaki, that's Julia we have at home. Like that's just this whole, just the whole company is Stardom we have at home.
By the way, Julia, who hilariously is still on the front page of the Marigold website.
Of course.
Like, she hasn't worked there in months. Take her off the site.
Well, she might come back at some point to do a special match. You never know.
She, I guess, may be. But in that case, why not put Io Shirai up on that website?
You know, I think they should. Sell some tickets, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway... Marigold also had an evening show on August 2nd. Kelly, what'd you think of that show?
Okay. Start off with the first tournament match, Chan Yoda beating Kazuna Tanaka. Kazuna Tanaka is not skilled enough to pull off the things that she wants to do, and the things she wants to do are not that ambitious. So this was really rough. I think Tanaka really sandbagged Chan Yoda on like the jackhammer, and I don't think she was trying to. I just don't think she could keep herself up, and just it looked fucking terrible. That was a big fall from grace for Chan Yoda from the previous heights of being in the best match on the show to now being in a 1.5-star match. Then that was followed by Yuzuki beating Chiaki. Not entirely terrible. 2.25 on that one. Chiaki still can't swing a chair to save her goddamn life. Let's see. Maria beat Koki. That was fine. Chika Goto beat Misa Matsui. My notes say they're trying, and that's what matters. Utami beat Rei Seto. 2.5 stars. My Sakurai beat Nagisa Nozaki. That was 3.25. That was all right. Again, My Sakurai just kind of works these matches like you should work a tournament match with a sense of urgency and like, hey, I'm trying to win and score those points. So I liked that. Mikiu Aono and Mirai went to a time limit draw, which normally I would be not happy about. But you know what? I like the bit that these two have where they can't beat each other. Like, that's just been consistent across this company, so I'm all right with that. Main event, Sari Yamaoka beats Mayu Iwatani. I like that match a lot. I went 3.75, huge upset. They just kind of threw each other around for 10 minutes, and it was a good time. So, I don't know. I wouldn't watch Marigold. You don't have to do that to yourself.
Well, there you go. The sterling recommendations of Kelly. Concerning Marigold. What else happened? Well, Tokyo Joshi had Summer Sun Princess on July 21st. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this show?
So one of my main thoughts coming away from this is that I thought it was good enough, but I'm also concerned that Tokyo Joshi is in a bit of a rut at the moment. Like, the shows are good, but I feel like they're mostly forgettable. And like, I think by this time in the year, we would typically have a match that we can point to and be like, that is clearly like a Tokyo Joshi match of the year candidate. And I don't think I have that for this year yet.
I would have to look at my notes. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
And that's a problem, because I feel like by this time in previous years, we would both easily rattle off 1 to 2 matches where it's like, well, obviously it's this. And I don't know. I feel like the company as a whole is kind of just not doing great. Business is not great. But again, I've talked about this before. I think a lot of that comes from a lot of the advertising bucks going to Marigold rather than Tokyo Joshi. The second night of the Princess Cup was not put up on Wrestle Universe before we recorded, and will not be put up until tomorrow, which is ridiculous when you have to scroll through like 15 fucking Marigold shows on their front page. Like, this is the company you guys started with. Try and back them or something. Just do something. Like, the business is down. I don't know. Maybe try and fix it.
They did draw a solid number for this. They drew 1,300.
They did, but I would say it's not much of an improvement. It's mostly flat compared to like other shows in this venue.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're also running less shows, or less big shows. I mean, mm-hmm. They've had many less Korakins, which I feel like is the place where a lot of those, like, oh, this was great,
yeah,
match would come from. Like, obviously, on the bigger shows, we probably get a top line match, but it was those Korakins that was like, oh, every month they're having a great match because the main event was always good, and now they're not having those Korakins.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say about this show, I mean, we talked about when we previewed this show that I was like, hey, this show could be no good.
Yeah.
And it was not that, but the two matches that I was like, we'll see what happens with these matches were essentially what I thought they would be, which was pretty average. You know, the International Princess title match, I thought was sort of nothing. And then also, affected by the fact that, you know, Mocha winning the title and then she has some illness or something. I hope she gets better, but it seems like she's going to be out for a bit. So she's now won this title and is going to not be around? Question mark?
The vagueness of the post is concerning, but they also haven't stripped her of the title, to my knowledge. And in case I missed that. So that gives me hope that it's just like, hey, she's got COVID or something.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, but it was just a weird thing to be like, they've built to this thing and now, whoop, she's leaving.
Is it entirely possible that they kind of laid out the brackets for the Princess Cup, booked this show, didn't think about the two interacting at all, and then we're like, oh, fuck, we've got Mocha versus Miyu first round. We don't want to beat Miyu already. We don't want to beat Mocha. I don't know. She's sick.
No, I don't think they would. I don't think they would do that.
I doubt it.
I will say for this match, I thought the tag title match was very good.
Yes, that was my favorite match of the night by far.
I thought it was excellent. I thought the best worker in the match was Shoko Nakajima, who I thought looked like a million bucks. Really good. They had that dragon screw off the 619 at one point, which was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yuki on commentary being like, she's fucking tough. And I was like, yeah. I will say for commentary, I am usually here as a Bali and Aki defender, commentary defender. I know a lot of people do not prefer his commentary style. I will say I thought he was very poor on this show.
He wasn't great.
The biggest moment was the beginning of Mocha Suzume. They're doing their entrances. Aki's talking about, Mocha is the underdog. She is always having to fight. You know, this is her chance. I'm like, great. Perfectly fine. The match starts. He's still talking like in these vague, like, underdog, like, she's an underdog and she needs to do this while, like, the match is happening. And Jada Stone is on commentary. Very helpfully. I thought Jada Stone actually was very good on commentary. Like,
the only thing that I didn't like from her was when she was talking about, like, oh, you know, I love working these two. I'm like, maybe don't talk like that.
Well, I could see it like, oh, I love, like, saying working, like, oh, I love, like, wrestling with them.
Yeah.
like, and on the smaller shows, I could see you're like, oh, we're doing some small show and this isn't really for anything. Like that I could sort of like work in my mind. Yeah. But like Aki's off being like, oh, an underdog, you know, the spirit of goodness must resonate through all the world in this. And Jada Stone's in the background like, oh, and there's a strike from Suzume. And I'm like, just call the match, please, please. So I was just like, ah, it's just got to be like, you need someone there saying what is happening, or else you have these 5 minute stretches where you're just listening to a guy talking while yeah. something else is happening.
My favorite Aki moment of the show was at the very beginning, right when they were like introing the show and they were showing the commentary team on the screen, and then they cut to the English commentary team and showed yeah. them, and Haku's like, look, we're on TV, and Haku's just like, well, fucking goddamn.
I did like on commentary Haku during the Andreza match, the first thing he said when Andreza came out was, remember, he has a history of cheating on his wife. I actually really liked the 8-person tag. The Kira Summer, Mifu Ishida, Toga, Wakana Uehara. That match, I thought it was like, oh, here's a mid-card. Like, a mid-card has appeared. Like,
yeah.
Kira is getting better. Like, Mifu, Toga, obviously. Like, Wakana seems like someone they're imminently going to push. Kaya Toribami sort of went like Joker, notice me, energy, gear.
Okay.
For this show. So I was sort of like, oh, maybe she's trying to get someone to like actually push her, as we've been talking about for a while. But like there was also like Ren Konatsu doing a full flip in the opener where I was like, oh shit. Like she could be good. Like, there's enough here where I'm like, okay, this is interesting. They have a lot of, like, Haru, like, winning that three-way tag match after we talked about it, and we're like, well, clearly she's going to take the fall.
Yeah.
And then didn't take the fall, and now she's in, you know, the second, I don't know, what round is it? The second round of the Tokyo Princess
Cup? I think.
Is that what it's called? The quarter?
I'm not sure. Well, because they do the thing where it's like, you've got the first round where, but yeah. I think someone gets a bye, but I don't know. But also, Haru and Yuki Aeno are really over with me as a team because they did the Kamen Rider shit. But also, I think they work together really well, and Yuki Aeno is at her absolute best when she's in a tag team with something to do. So, like, push these two, I think.
It clearly feels like the company is like, oh, wait a minute. Is Haru, do we have something here? Because it's yeah. like, she's winning this tag match. She's doing this Tokyo. Like, it'd be very easy. She could lose in the first round. It's like, oh, she's still a child. But things are happening. I mean, I enjoyed that. You know, I think the other point was the matches I also sort of was looking forward to. I was like, yeah, the tag, the Brooks and Emi Sakura tag match. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it wasn't as good as I was hoping, but like I had fun with it.
Although I did laugh at Emi Sakura gushing blood after the first move of the match.
Yeah, just got booted directly in the nose.
And everyone having to be like, don't talk about that.
And then Billy Sark's trying to murder Miyu.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting that she was trying to like permanently injure her, but other than that I thought the match was really like slow.
Yeah, it was not a great match.
It was like, okay, this match is fine except for the moments when Billy Starks just puts her faith in God to yeah. protect her opponent.
Jesus, take the wheel, I'm gonna slam this woman's head into the metal.
And then the main event, I was very scared.
Yeah.
I was like, Yuki's going to win.
I really was.
Oh, God. I mean, Mizuki, the first three quarters of the match, was working pillow soft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there
were some things where I was like, you got to hit her with something. And then she did that step up double stomp that she did, that she does near the end of the match that she actually connected with. And I was like, okay, here we go. But it was a Yuki Arai match. It's like 3.25 stars, 3.5 stars. And you're like, eh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then
we're too far into her run to still be accepting that.
Yeah. To me, it's like she is on the same level as Wakana.
Yeah.
And I think Wakana is going to get better. And I don't know that Yuki is. And also, no. Wakana Uehara is not in the main event of big shows.
No.
Like, I'm like, ah, you're not quite there wrestling, but I'm not depending on you to main event one of the four biggest shows of the year.
Honestly, you make me rank like the Tokyo Joshi roster. I'm probably putting Wakana above Yuki Arai, because I think she has a bigger upside. I think she's got far more personality between the two.
But yeah, so not the, I thought, oh, this show could be not great. I think the semi-main really saved it. Like, had the semi-main been bad, I probably would have been like, oof, this show.
Yes.
But the semi-main was great. I mean, four great workers, Hyper Masao, great. I was glad that they won, because I thought for a minute, oh, maybe this is the moment when they lose. And it's like, well, you had the chance. And I'm like, they're having good matches with lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, yeah, maybe
just let them have
point,
a good run.
You know, I trust Mizuki. Now that we know Mizuki's keeping the title, she'll have good matches. But, you know, I was staring down the barrel of like Moka Miyamoto, Yuki Arai.
Yeah.
Titles where I'm like, what does the next show look like? You know, and I guess Moka could lose the title tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, happy to see Hyper and Shoko keep it, because they've been very good. And now every match, I expect Hyper to get her mask ripped off, because she had new dyed hair, newly dyed hair and gear, updated gear, not updated, but fresh gear.
I have to say, I'm loving the bit of every time they break out the bike, they run down Kiryu. Like, yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, only didn't do it in Texas because she was not there.
Yeah.
Tokyo Joshi also started the Tokyo Princess Cup on July 27th. This one, a single elimination tournament. So the first show had four matches. Well, it technically had four matches. The first match was Miyu Yamashita defeating Moka Miyamoto by forfeit because of her illness. Moka, hope you get better soon. Wakana Uehara defeated Suzume. That was probably the upset of the first round, I would say.
Is Suzume on her way out?
I don't know. I think part of this is that now Daisy Monkey has got to get back to get. It's sort of like, hey, we did this. Now you can probably go back and be in your tag team again.
Yeah.
And obviously, as I was saying, I think they see something in Wakana, and it's like, oh, we can beat Suzume, where it is quote unquote an upset, mm-hmm. but it's not like beating Mizuki or something. You know, she is an established, it's like, oh, she's a former champion. Wow, what a win. Without being like, oh, this is one of our top people who we don't want losing this
way. Yeah.
Miyu Watanabe defeating Raku and Mizuki defeating Yuki Aeno. Those three matches, I would say none of them worth going out of your way for.
Miyu versus Raku was very fun.
I thought all of them were like, this is fine. I think I now have opening round Tokyo Joshi blindness.
Yeah, that's like, fair.
I'm just like, okay, here we are in a tiny venue as part of this tournament. Like, the good parts of the Tokyo Joshi tournaments are the final rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
Without exclusion. So, yes. And then the show that didn't air yet was from August 2nd. Haru defeating Himawari, as we talked about. Arisa Endo defeating Hyper Masao. Yuki Arai defeating Yuki Kamifuku, and Shoko Nakajima defeating Rika Tatsumi. We'll talk about it in a second, but looking at these finals, I'm like, these are some good, interesting matches that they've set up. So what else has been happening? Well, in Diana, Mizuki Kato defeated Hanako to win the Crystal title after Hanako broke her sternum. A thing I was not aware could even happen.
Yeah, that's terrible.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Where's a doctor when we need one? Breaking your... Now I'm just looking up breaking your sternum. A broken sternum is a break in the breastbone. Yes, I know that.
I guess
car accidents are the most common cause, which I guess would make sense. Sports injuries.
I mean, I suppose it, like if a double stomp or something.
But I'm like, what is the okay treatment? Rest, surgery. Wait, you could break your sternum and not require surgery?
Well, I don't entirely know what a depending on how it's broken, the surgery might not be able to do anything.
Oh, in most cases, a broken sternum will heal on its own.
Yeah. Because I feel like the rest of the bones, like your ribs and shit, will keep it in place.
Yeah.
If it's not, like, completely obliterated. Like, if it's just cracked, I think you just gotta let it heal.
It can take 3 months or longer for the pain to go away. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had, like, a rib injury?
I have.
It fucking sucks, and like you can't do anything about it, and it just hurts for however long. So like 3 months for the sternum doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Well, Hanako, get better soon. Hope your sternum is repaired. I don't know. Also in Diana on the 27th, Ayako Sato and Debbie Keitel defeated Nanami Hatano and Rina Amakura to win the tag titles. In Wave, the Catch the Wave tournament came to the end, Kohaku defeating Haruka Umasaki and Rani Yagami in the finals to win that tournament. So that's one tournament coming to an end there. But what is coming up? Well, more tournaments, let me tell you. Stardom has 5-star shows on August 6th, August 9th, August 10th, August 11th, August 16th, and August 17th. So plenty of action. And by August 17th, the tournament will almost be over. There will be 2 more shows after that. Oz has a show on the 17th of August. Sayori No will be in a 3-way match with Kakeru Sekiguchi and Mayumi Ozaki. Tsubasa Kurigaki and Kohaku will face off against Hiroyu Matsumoto and Zones for the tag titles, and Akino will face Hazuki on that show. Tokyo Joshi will continue the Tokyo Princess Cup. 4 matches coming up on August 9th. That will be Miyu Watanabe versus Haru Kazushiro, Miyu Yamashita versus Arisu Endo, Mizuki versus Shoko Nakajima, and Wakana Uehara versus Yuki Arai. Kelly, what do you think the finals, or not the finals, what do you think the next round of this tournament will be?
Okay, I'm thinking Watanabe beats Haru. I think Endo gets the upset over Miyu, because that was one we talked about, that it was entirely possible that Moko would have gotten the upset over her. I'm thinking Shoko beats Mizuki to set up a title shot, because that's just free for having right there. And then I'm hoping that Wakana beats Yuki Arai.
I think my bold prediction is the winner of Wakana and Yuki Arai wins the tournament.
Interesting. You think they would run back Yuki Arai versus Mizuki?
I don't know if they would, but I wonder if Wakana wins and they just like go all in.
Maybe.
Because the question would be, okay, is Miyu, like, okay, Miyu Watanabe, I think, could win. I think we could say. We could sort of categorize these people in, like, could win, won't win.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, Haru.
Not winning.
Won't win. Miyu Yamashita. Could.
Could win.
I would be very scared if she won that it would be like, oh, they're hitting the emergency button again.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Arisu. Could.
I don't think so.
I can't think Mizuki is winning.
No.
As champion. Shoko. I don't know. Feels like Yuki Arai is not going to win. Do we feel like Wakana could win?
She might have the best chances now that we're kind of laying it out this way.
Like, that feels like a, oh, we're going to go all in on this person now.
Yeah.
And just try it and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, but, what else do you got going on? Might as well.
But we will see. And then on August 17th, it will be the tournament semifinals will happen there. Marigold will continue the Dream Star Grand Prix. That will be with shows on the 9th and 10th. What's coming up on those shows? Let's take a look. Not fully Dream Star shows. A lot of non-tournament action happening there. The 9th featuring this very scary match of Chiake versus Koke Amore.
Oof.
A match that could be very interesting. The 10th featuring Mayu Iwatani versus Reo Seto, Chen Yoda versus Nagisa Nozaki, Victoria Yuzuki versus Sara Yamaoka. That one could be interesting.
That one is probably going to be good.
And then they have shows on the 16th and 17th. The 16th, Utami and Sara Yamaoka, probably the last remaining very good match that they have in the chamber. Mirai versus Nagisa Nozaki will be on that show. And then the 17th, what do they have? Reo Seto versus Maria. So some different matches, but again, as I said, usually no more than two or three of those on each show. And then Wave has a show coming up on the 10th, celebrating their anniversary. That show will have the Regina De Wave title match, Saya Kamatani defending against Kohaku, receiving that shot for winning the Catch the Wave tournament. And then for Kelly, a little Kelly match.
Ooh.
In here, Yuka Miyazaki will face Jun Kazai in what I believe is a light tube death match.
I do love a good light tube death match and a Jun Kazai.
The website indicated it as a fluorescent lamp death match, which I took to be light tubes.
It's probably, yeah.
Right?
Hey, maybe they're trying to find new things. It's like when Necro Butcher had that fucking LED board match.
Yeah, it's just going to be one big old-timey lamp.
Yeah.
And they're going to smash over each other's heads. So that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks. Lots of tournament action to cover. We will, of course, be back with you. But now I throw it over to Kelly for a little bit of Kelly's Corner.
All right. Let's do another movie. Taylor, did you see Fantastic Four?
I have not seen Fantastic Four. I was wondering which movie you would ask about because I have seen Naked Gun.
Okay. I do want to hear about your thoughts on that. But first, I will say Fantastic Four, very good. It's the first Marvel movie in years that you can watch without having seen another movie or TV show. So if you want an entry point, here it is.
Well, I'll recommend Naked Gun. I thought it was very funny.
You liked it. All right.
Good to see in a theater full of people laughing, having a good time. Yes, it's very fun. I mean, it is one of those things where like some of it is very stupid, but they have a lot of jokes. So if you don't like one joke, you'll like some other jokes.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just like rapid fire.
It's rapid fire. They definitely have classic Naked Gun style jokes, some more modern style jokes in it. But I thought it was very fun. I was slightly biased because it turned out that one of the writers had brought like 25 people to the screening that I went to. So they were hooting and hollering throughout the movie, which for a comedy makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Because everyone was laughing. So that was good, but I wasn't expecting. And they had, you know, like Rachel Bloom was there and DC Pearson.
I know that name.
Yeah. Some fun people. So it was a fun time. Recommend it. It's good to see a comedy in theaters so you can laugh along with your fellow men and women.
Because we don't get that very often anymore.
Correct. So that is Kelly's Corner and I guess a bonus Taylor's Corner.
Yeah.
For everyone. And that is everything for us here at Jumping Bomb Audio. So for Kelly, my name is Taylor saying so long and we will see you next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.